If you want to find a verse, there's a lot of verses in there, and a lot of this is for you to look up later. But if you want to find a verse to put your finger, to hold on to, go to 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. My daughter, the one who shall not be named, asked me the question. Says, is there a sliding scale of sin? And I said, no. A lot of people preach on the sin that does not affect them. The sin of having wavy hair. Doesn't affect me. We'll talk about that today. Some people have their favorite sins because it doesn't pertain to them. And I said, sin is sin. And it takes you away from God. Lust is a powerful passion. This is the seven deadly sins. You don't find that in the Bible. Lust is a strong passion, longing especially for sexual desires. 2 Timothy. Flee also youthful lust. But pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Gluttony is an excess of ongoing eating of food and drinking. 1 Corinthians 10. Therefore, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Greed, an excessive pursuit of wealth and gain. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Sloth, an excessive laziness and the failure to act and utilize one's talents. This is Proverbs 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. I've never seen an ant take it easy. Always working, from sunup to sundown. Wrath is a strong anger and hate towards another person. Romans 12. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. God can do more damage to someone than you can possibly ever do. Look what he did to Paul. First called Saul, trying to destroy the church, was converted to be one of the prominent leaders of the church. Turned his world upside down. All his friends became enemies, all his enemies became friends. Envy is the intense desire to have an item that someone else possesses. This is Proverbs 14. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. And pride, what some will say is the first sin. What Satan decided that he wanted to be God, or like God, and have praise and worship of his own. This is Jeremiah. Let not the mighty man boast of his might, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, the Lord. Now, the reason I picked 1 Corinthians 6, is it says, well, do you have a favorite verse? And this is probably it. This is probably my favorite verse. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that's what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. That's what some of you were. Where did we come from? This is what we were pulled from. This is the muck and the mire that Christ reached his hands into and pulled us out. This is what some of you, not now. That's not you now. That's what you were. So what are we now? We're Christians. We follow Christ. God does not remember your sins as far as the east is from the west. Not north-south. Once you start going north, you hit the North Pole. Any direction that you take after that is south. You go west, you'll never reach east. You go east, you'll never reach west because you just keep going around and around and around. He separates it as far as the east is from the west. The world, what's the most famous Christian verse? John 3:16. You see it in the football players, football stadiums, they hold it up. What's the world's favorite verse? Matthew 7:1-5. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. They tell you that. They tell you that, how can you judge me? Judge not, lest you be judged. How do you know that verse? But read it in this context. Read the whole way through. For in the same way you judge others, you too will be judged. With the measure you measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eyes and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, while there's a plank in your own? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. We judge all the time. You're driving to work, you're judging. Somebody flies by you, that person's crazy. Are you a psychiatrist? No, but you still judge them. They're insane. They must really like to get to work really quick. But it's the same vehicle on the way home that they drive really fast to go home. So I guess they hate work after 8 hours of being at work. Luke 7:34. I'm sorry, it's 36. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived in a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissing them and pouring perfume on them. We were camping, and we got to have our niece come up there with us. And my girls were running around in flip-flops, out in the dust, dirty as can be. My niece had shoes on and socks on, took off the time for bed, wanted to wash their feet, kind of clean them up. Girls washed off their feet, not a problem. Had my niece take off her shoes and her socks. Her feet were black. How could that be that my daughters were running around almost barefoot, but my niece had her feet covered up, and they were black, like she was actually dipping them in the fire ash. Black. And it's something that just sticks with us, because she only got to come camping with us once. So you see Jesus walking from town to town and how dirty his feet were. And it wasn't just a little bit of crying to wet Jesus' feet, but it was a lot of crying. And she used her hair to wash the mud, the dirt, the dust off his feet. When the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher. Two men owed a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt can cancel. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time that I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, for her many sins will be forgiven. For she loved much, but he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said, Your sins are forgiven. You can go to the book of Isaiah. I'm going to jump here a little bit. Isaiah 55. I'm sorry, Isaiah 64. It says, all of us become like one who is unclean, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all shriveled up like a leaf, and the wind of our sins are swept us away. All our deeds, all our righteousness are like filthy rags. Not one of us is righteous. Not a one. The reason I read the 1 Corinthians 6, number one, we remember our sins. I do. I'll be out there working by myself. I'll stop and just think for a moment. And part of my past life comes into my brain. And if you ever see it, I'm just standing there and I just go, stupid. Because I regret it. But it just hops into my brain. Somebody says, what would you do if you had a time machine? I would try to go back and correct all the mistakes that I made. That'd probably take too long. And I'd probably end up making even worse mistakes. I still remember those things. I still remember the things that I've done. But the biggest thing that we can do is to have mercy on other people. Know where we came from. This is what some of you were. 1 Corinthians 6, read it. Read it again. Take it to heart. This is what some of you were. Matthew 9. Matthew 9, 12. This is Jesus eating with the tax collectors and sinners. On hearing this, Jesus said, It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call the righteous, or not to call the righteous, but sinners. We know that there's no one righteous, not one, except Christ. We go to the doctor when we're sick. We have sick calls at work. Somebody who has a toothache, something hurts. We have special times blocked off for them. And they call in and we say, what is your pain scale? 1 through 10. They say 3. We say, okay, you know, we could get you in on this day. They say, it's unbearable, it's an 8, it's a 9, it's a 10. I can't breathe, I can't eat. Anytime I breathe, it hurts. Anytime I chew, I can't sleep. We'll get you in right then. Can you get here in an hour? Oh, I can't make it in an hour. When can you get here? Do you have something next Tuesday? Well, apparently it does not hurt that much. If it really hurt, you would get in right away. You would beg to come in. You would get in right away. Same with sinners. Same with going to the doctor. He didn't call the healthy. He called the sick. He's calling us. We need to get in right away. Isaiah 55. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he'll have mercy on them. And to our God, he will freely pardon. And what I read earlier, Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Got to be humble. Have to be. How can you not be humble? How can you not pride? Read the seven deadly sins. God's lucky to have me on his team. God's lucky that I became a Christian. Why, the Christian church would have failed if it wasn't for me. I know that when we become saved, we're sanctified. And we're saints. But you talk about St. David, St. Mark, St. Matthew, St. Bartholomew. You get to heaven, St. Paul, St. Paul's Cathedral. You talk to them and they'll just say, my name's Paul. They won't consider themselves a saint. Read the book of Revelation. They have crowns on their head that were placed there by God. And when they praise God, what do? They take the crowns off and they throw them at his feet. Because any of our righteous deeds are nothing. Anything that we do that comes to us as praise, we should reflect to God. It is not by our might and by our power. As we reflect Christ in our lives to other people, we say his words, not ours. But any praise goes directly to him. Robert was saying that any breath, our next breath is a gift of God. What we have comes from him. The Beatitudes, Matthew 5. Blessed are the merciful, for they'll be shown mercy. Don't you want mercy? Need it every single day. Matthew 18. Verses 21. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began to settle, a man who owed them 10,000 talents, millions of dollars, was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. And it still wouldn't have repaid what he borrowed. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found his fellow servant who owed him 100 denarii, $20. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay me back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, I canceled all your debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could repay all that he owed. This is how your heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. What mercy are you extending to other people around you? to the people who you think might have wronged you in some way. When David slept with Bathsheba, then sent Uriah to the front lines to be killed, and he was killed, and then he tried to cover it up, and then he was found out. He said, O you, Lord, against you have I sinned. I think he did something against Uriah, too, and Bathsheba. But ultimately, the things that we do to the people on earth, here and now, in church, out of church, we're sinning against God. Are we having mercy? Are we extending the same mercy to the people around us as God has extended to us? There's only one person that I know that is close to perfect. That's my mom. But she's crazy. She loves me a lot, but she's still nuts. At your 30th birthday, she'll send you like 10 birthday cards. And I had to call my sister and say, does mom not remember sending me a birthday card, that she's sending me 10? Does she just have an extra birthday? She goes, no, that normally happens on your 30th birthday, that she sends you 10 birthday cards. Like, oh, okay. She's still crazy. What mercy are you extending to the people around you? Romans 12. Romans 12:8. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. You fight with your brothers, you fight with your sisters. Your mom tries to make amends until you go hug each other. You just finish fighting, hitting each other, throwing things at each other. When you hug each other, do you mean it? No. You do it because she's watching. Because if not, she's going to get the wooden spoon out and, well. But when we fight with each other, when we forgive each other, when we show each other mercy, that power comes from God. Remember on where you came from and extend that mercy to the people around you. Let's go to James right at the end. James. James 2:3. Because of judgment without mercy was shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. When we stand before the throne, and if you read the book of Revelation, it says books will be opened, and then the book of life will be opened. People think they have guardian angels. I think we have angels who are writing everything down on a piece of paper. And that will be in the book. And people will stand before God, or they think they'll stand before God, and stick their finger in his face and try to justify everything they've done on this earth. And in my weird brain, God looks over at the angel, goes to the filing cabinet, pulls out this piece of paper, hands it to God. God looks at the guy and says, and explains to him everything that he's done in his life. And he sees it. When they say you die, your life flashes before your eyes. I think the same thing may happen in heaven. And there's going to be no justification for the sinner. Same thing will happen with us. But your name will be found in the book of life. He'll take that paper, once your name is in the book of life, and he'll throw it away. But before your name is found, and you think they're going to read it, and you have that anticipation of fear, you're going to want God to be merciful. You're going to want God to look the other way. There's going to be plenty of crying in heaven. Because even as Christians, we are going to see people standing before the throne. And we are going to feel bad. We are going to want God to have mercy on them. But they made their choice. They made the choice of not following God while there was time. And again, we are to judge the world. But with mercy. Because remember, when we put our hand out and tell people that they need Christ, are they going to see our judgment? Are they going to see the mercy that we have that comes from God? I was in the same spot that you were. I was there. That's why certain people who have come out of troubled families, troubled lives, can really reach a lot of people. Because they've been there before. They know. And their witness has great strength and great meaning to it. Somebody who has brought up in the church their entire lives, who've thought they did okay, really haven't been traumatized or had struggles, does not know. When you had nothing to your name, we didn't know we were poor as kids because there was food. Was it a lot of food? No, but it was food. And I joke about it with people because you would get the bologna and throw it in the frying pan. And it would bubble up. And you had to cut all four corners so it would lay flat. Then you got the government cheese that sliced kind of weird. I don't know what it was. And you threw it on top of that. And if you were lucky and your brothers weren't around to eat your food, you get another piece of bologna and throw it on top of that. Then you got a piece of bread. And it was just so good. A lot of people won't know that struggle. A lot of other people do. You can sympathize with that. That's what makes your witness, not the church's witness, not my witness, but your individual witness. When God mandates, go into all the world and preach the gospel. All the stuff that we know where we came from, the mercy that we extend to other people, the love that we extend to the people around us, even to the people who don't like us, who hate us, who think we judge them, who don't want anything to do with us. And is this something to condone someone's lifestyle, someone's drug addiction, someone's sinfulness? No. This is to show them Christ and show them the mercy of God. You know these verses. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned, not just a few, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. Don't stop there. Keep reading. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. This is just a review. You know this. You know that the mercy that God has extended to you, that someone such as you, a sinner such as you, as me, More so me, because I'm the one that's calling myself stupid every time that, you know, get a quiet time. That God picked me. Paul says the same thing, that he's the worst sinner. That's the only error I can find in the Bible, because I don't think he beat me. I think I'm the worst sinner. This is a saying that my daughter will like. It says, some believe that is only great power that can hold evil in check. That is not what I found. I found that it is the small, everyday deeds of ordinary folk that keep darkness at bay. Small acts of kindness and love. It's not some great strength. It's not our own power, but it's through God. In a moment, we're going to play a song. This is what my girls grew up on. There's no words. There's just music. You don't have to sing along. If you know the words, you can sing along. That'd be great. But just listen to it. Tap your toes. Move around. It is a toe-tapping song. Guaranteed. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the mercy and grace that you show us every single day. For every breath that we take. For our bodies, whether they are healthy, whether they're breaking down and falling apart. The reason that you still have us here is to continue to reach the people around us, the inner lives that we come across. Maybe the next person that we reach is the next Paul of the church, who right now hates you, hates everything about Christians. But when we reach them with mercy and grace that you've shown us, that their heart changes from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. That they set the world on fire for you. That they continue to preach and reach the people around them. As we do to our neighbors, to our friends, to our enemies, words of encouragement that we give to just people that we meet. Let people be happy to see us, that we give words of encouragement. That all that strength comes from you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.